Yesterday was Pentecost Sunday, all things apostolic. We're going to talk about that today. Evangelist Mark Dross was with us, Pastor Miles Young, and a host of other pastors and men of God. We just came together. It's just really good news, and it's really exciting, so stay tuned. It's June the 9th, and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm Nathaniel Wilson, and if you have not been with us before, we're glad you're with us today. And this is a great day. We're in the middle of 2025. New things are being invented in our world that's never even been dreamed of before. My grandson, who's in his 30s, has maybe never even seen or used a rotary phone, and just many, many things have changed so fast that even in my lifetime were standard that are not even heard of before. Car phones and other communication devices and lots of other things from the kitchen right on through to innovation in automobiles. Things are just radically different. And I would say, in a material way, they are much better. So, somebody, that could be argued by somebody, but I just think that that would be true. So, welcome. We're glad that you're here. This is a great Monday. What a great way to start off a Monday, the Monday after Pentecost Sunday. So Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after the resurrection and 50 days after Easter. So it is the very day, if you read your Bible, that the Christian church was founded on the first Pentecost Sunday after the resurrection of Jesus. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, those early disciples, there was 120 of them, were all in one accord and in one place. While they're in there, suddenly from heaven, there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. Actually, the word for spirit is the same word for wind in the New Testament and the Old Testament. A mighty rushing wind. It's also the same word for breath. So the mighty rushing breath of God came into the place, indicating the very life of God. And the Bible says of Adam that he breathed into him and made him a living soul, the breath of God. Now this breathing in makes him a living spirit, a born-again living spirit. And Jesus also used this same breath example in John 20:22, when he was with the disciples, and as a prophetic acting out, prophets actually acted out things lots of times in Scripture. Jesus here, in the spirit of prophecy, is acting out for them how the Spirit is going to come upon them, so they will definitely know what's going on. And John 20:22 tells us that he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So we know that when they did receive it a few days later on the day of Pentecost, it was the breath of God. A mighty rushing wind came into the place where they were setting. Tongues of fire set upon each of them, and they all received the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. This is the birthday of the church. I'm just quoting Scripture. This is how it happened. Now, since then, you've got lots of people that say, well, that's not how you get in the church now. All I'm telling you is on the day of Pentecost, which was the birthday of the church, one was initiated into the church through spirit infilling and born of the water and the spirit, and also being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. These were initiatory rites, whatever you think they are now. They were rites. They were more than rites. There was dynamics and life connected to them. So anyway, yesterday was Pentecost Sunday. So it's a great thing. Pentecost Sunday is on your calendar every year. There is no other, if you want to call it, denominational Sunday. There's no Catholic Sunday, Baptist Sunday, Methodist Sunday, Seventh-day Adventist Sunday, Church of God Sunday, Jehovah's Witnesses Sunday, Mormon Sunday. There's none of that. But there is a Pentecost Sunday, because it's not a denomination, of course. It is a dynamic relational experience wherein a person is filled with the Spirit of God and becomes a child of God. He actually changes families when the Holy Ghost comes on him. A person changes families. They change their family name from their last name is no longer Adam. Their last name is Jesus. And that is signified and documented officially in water baptism, which is the place where the name change to the new family goes along with the spirit change of receiving the spirit of your new father, rather than living under the dominion of the spirit of your old father, which is the flesh from Adam's fall. So all of this has to do with the day of Pentecost and what happened on that day. Not only did the apostles receive the Holy Ghost, not only did the initial 120 that were with them, if there was 12 of them at that time, then that would leave 108 other people were in the room and initially received the Holy Ghost like simultaneously. People thought they were drunk. They thought, what meaneth this? It's the wrong hour of the day for people to be drinking. And then Peter, of course, preached to them on that day. And you know that Peter was given the keys by Jesus. So what Peter said that day, that he could bind and loose according to the words of Jesus, and that whatever he bound on earth would be bound in heaven, whatever he loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. This power was given, this preaching, anointing, and authority was given to the Apostle Peter. So who are we to argue with the Apostle Peter? Who are we to come along later with things to say, well, no, this is the way you can be saved. This is the way you're initiated into the church. When Peter himself, who had the keys from Christ himself, who was the one that just breathed on them and filled them with his spirit, so he's there with them. And it wasn't just Peter that agreed with what was preached on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says Peter standing up with the 11. All 12 apostles were standing. The others were behind him. They were scotching for him. And he preached to them. The conviction fell. The people asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. They wanted to get rid of their sins. And Peter said, repent. That was the first thing you do. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to tell them the promises for you and for your children. And here's the good part in our case. And all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so that includes us, because God has filled us with the Holy Spirit also. So it's happy birthday to the Christian church as of yesterday. And so in the Rock Church, we celebrated the birthday of the church. We celebrated the birthday of the church. We didn't have a particular birthday cake, but we had something better than birthday cake. We had church Sunday morning and Sunday night like we usually do, but the difference was, it was Pentecost Sunday. And so, wonderfully, on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Ghost fell. Sunday morning, 10 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And Sunday night, 70 more, 70 more, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so Pentecost Sunday, initially with the apostles, is, it never gets old. Things that are eternal never get shop-worn, or they never get worn out or exhausted. They never lose their initial energy. The expenditure of outgo of the Spirit never reduces the amount of the Spirit that remains. These are eternal things. And so we saw yesterday 80 new people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues right in the sanctuary of the Rock Church. And so if anybody wonders whether you can still receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, wonder no more. Now, we're well aware that there is theologies, covenant theology, and others that in the evangelical realm that would say you cannot receive the Holy Spirit anymore, but that is not true. That is not true. We are in the same church age as we were when the apostles received the Holy Ghost. The church age has never changed. The period of time that we're in has never changed. We're still in it. And most everybody would agree with that. But for some reason, they would say, well, we're still in it, but now you get salvation different than what they received it in the Bible. Well, the big question would be, why would you think that? Because obviously that's not true. So those people came. What a great time it was. The building was very full. I mean, there was still room, but not much. The campus churches were there. They came for the service and brought people. And out of that 80, there was maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 of those people that received the Holy Ghost from campus churches, some of them in churches that are very, very small, just getting off of the ground. So it was a great blessing to them to be able to bring their people to a place where the sweep of the Holy Ghost was strong. They go back home. The church there is stronger. They are growing. When I say campus churches, they're not all feeble. Some of these are pretty robust local churches and that are growing. It's not an exaggeration to say they are growing rapidly. So this is an exciting time. This is an exciting time. Would to God that every Christian church yesterday would have had 80 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Would to God that they would quit arguing about whether you can receive it or not, and quit trying to repress people from receiving what God has for them, and just receive it for yourself. And I've got to tell you, I'm certainly not against education. I am the chancellor at Wilson University, and I have had a considerable amount of education, so I'm not against education, but it doesn't matter how many degrees you got. That does not qualify you to say, number one, I have the Holy Spirit just like they got it in the Bible, unless you did get it just like they got it in the Bible. And number two, it doesn't qualify you to know more than other people about whether you can receive it, because this is relational. This is something people can, they could establish a relationship with you or I if they were standing and walked up and put their hand out and said, my name's John Smith. They could establish a relationship. Well, this is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it starts with the forgiveness of sins, with repentance. But when people repent, they're not just talking to the wall. They're not just up there blathering away in their unfocused mind. When people repent, they're talking to somebody. They're asking forgiveness. They're asking forgiveness of the Lord. They're talking to somebody. It's relational. And so the whole reception of the Holy Spirit is relational. And the degree of closeness and intimacy and benefit from the relationship when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is multiple levels above anything else that is found in human experience. So great weekend, great yesterday, great 80 people received the Holy Ghost. And in that group, There was also, I think, I don't know, 7 or 8 or 10 that got baptized also. And so we're excited about that. I don't know why any Pentecostal church would not say, let's celebrate Pentecost Sunday. I mean, we're the only one that's got a day on the calendar that is Pentecostal by name. And so why wouldn't you take advantage of that? And so next year, let's do it if the Lord tarries that long. Praise God. So, and we ought to be able to celebrate that. You know, I hope there's nobody out there saying, well, you know, that they just this and they just, or he just this or he just that. We need to get past finding ways to criticize good reports and celebrate them instead with our brothers and with our sisters. So the knee-jerk reaction of the flesh to hearing something good, healthy, robust about somebody else, growth, progress, effectiveness, success. The knee-jerk default reaction of the flesh is to try to find a way to pick it apart. So the way we usually pick it apart is we try to find some fault in the personality or something in the mannerisms of the people doing it, or blame them, well, they're just bragging. So the whole focus moves off of those things which are weighty to things which are all transitory. They're just passing. And who cares? Like, I know a guy that, this is years ago when he was younger, we were both younger, and he, obviously, and he, when you talked to him very long, he was always telling you about how good his church was doing. He was always talking about, well, you know, God's blessing the church that I pastor, and so many got the Holy Ghost the other day, and there was this growth, and God blessed us this way financially. I mean, it was that way. It was that way all the time. So a lot of people didn't like that because he was always talking about it. But the truth is, he was excited. The truth is that he probably did receive some personal gratification or reinforcement of self-esteem out of it, of being in a group that God was blessing tremendously. He probably did. But to focus on that rather than what he's telling us is a mistake, because when you focus on these things, they're all of time. They're timely. They're like people's personalities that you like or don't like, or the way they say it, or, well, did you hear that he did? And always all of those things, whether they're true or false, all of those things are on the shallow side of life. And so then we let those things become issues that keep us from seeing the profundity of what God is doing through these people, whoever they are, these individuals. And we don't see the profundity of that because we're always looking over here at the shallow side of that, as though we don't also have some things that people could pick at, that they're not sin, they're just idiosyncrasies and ways of doing things and saying things or whatever it is, and if there's not some, then they'll make up some. So anyway, great day. Thank you, Jesus. 80 new souls in the kingdom of God. Pastors that went home excited and happy because there was people from their churches that received the Holy Ghost. I think the maybe 10 or 12 was from those churches. The rest was Rock Church people, but are guests or visitors, but that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So, happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Christian Church. God bless you.